off, I think. Okay, everybody. It's Monday. It's time to start Pirkei Avot HaHistory and Hashkafa. We are up to chapter 2. The way that these Mishnayot are actually enumerated or numbered is differs in the various manuscripts and in the print edition. So in the one that I'm using right this minute, it's chapter 2, chapter 2, Mishnah 4. But the truth of the matter is the Mishnah 4 is divided into a bunch of sub-Mishnayot. Anyways, we are now returning to the great Hillel, the founder of the dynasty of the patriarchs of the Sanhedrin. And he says as follows. Hillel says, Al tifrosh ma'atzibur, don't separate yourself from the community. Don't abandon the community. Don't go set up your own community, which sounds like a very un-Jewish thing to do, but that's what he says. We'll have to see how that was taken. V'al tamin ba'atzmecha yamotcha. Don't believe in yourself. Don't be confident in yourself. Don't sit on your laurels until the day you die. And since nobody really knows when they're going to die, that means never rest on your laurels. V'al tadin or al tadun. Don't judge your fellow. Don't judge your friend. Acha tagilim komo, until you get to his place. Don't be judgmental, because you never, ever, ever know what they're going through. V'al tomar davar she'ef shal lishmoa. Shesofo lihishamea. Don't say something which really should not get out, because in the end it will get out. As in the old story about, it's not that I can't tell, I can keep a secret, it's the people I tell I can't keep a secret. Don't say that I will study when I have a chance, because you may never get the chance. So we're going to have to look at all of these. This is like every one of these. Every one of these comments is just absolutely chock full of implications, and it was taken in different ways in different eras by different people, and they speak to different people in different ways, and so on. So I'm going to let's start with the first one, and then we will continue on, really over the next number of weeks, doing this, discussing the various parts of this Mishnah. Al tifrosh ma'atzibur. Don't separate yourself from the community. Now, it's interesting that Pirkei Avot quotes this statement of Hillel twice in the context of the overall composition, and that's really quite striking. If only because it really emphasizes the absolute importance of community. For everybody. I mean, when Aristotle said that man is a political being, or people are political beings, it didn't mean that they're getting into politics. It means that they should be part of a community. It means a person should be part of a polis, of a city which has a vision, and has shared values, and that everybody helps everybody else, and so on. And that's certainly true on more than one level when it comes to Jews. Number one, we're a nation which is from the very beginning predicated upon the development of the individual, but that individual develops himself only in a communal setting. All the things that we do are done as a group. We help each other. All of halacha, the entire Torah, is built on mutual assistance and the fact that we can't really reach our spiritual, and never mind our individual goals, unless we do it as a community, as a tzibur. There is the value of, for example, of the value of prayer, bitzibur, of prayer in a community, is of inestimable worth over and above anything in terms of individual meditation. The rabbis inveigh heavily, and medieval Jewish literature had based heavily against people who break away and violate the integrity and the unity of the community. It's interesting. The Torah says lo tit godedu. Lo tit godedu means that you're not supposed to slice yourself up as an act of mourning, for example. Which, by the way, was not only a pagan practice, which we know from the Bible and from other sources, but it's still done. certain Shiite sects, when they mourn disasters, or when they commemorate the death of the first imam of the last, sorry, not the first imam, the last imam, Hussein, when they commemorate the Battle of Karbala, they actually scratch themselves and cause themselves to bleed as a sign of mourning. The Torah says, don't do that. Don't cut up your body. Now, the rabbis took it one step further and said, Lo titko to do, lo tasu agudot agudot. Don't divide yourself up. Don't subdivide yourself into smaller groups, but rather keep yourself whole. The image is very, very powerful, because the idea is that just as you shouldn't wound yourself and you shouldn't slice yourself physically as a body, so the Jewish people and communities as subsections of the Jewish people are a body, and therefore they should not be cut up into pieces. Now we know that admonition is often observed in the breach. Nevertheless, it is no less central to the Jewish worldview, and certainly in times of need. What I'd like to do though, I mean, as I said, this is a large, very large topic. It comes up a lot. It's come up a lot lately in terms of the discussion about support of Israel or not support of Israel. What does it mean? What does Jewish unity mean? And when are we supposed to be there for each other and so on? But I don't want to make this political. If what I say has contemporary applicability, everybody will decide it on their own. That's the function of this class. In any event, what I'd like to do is to take a look at a number of major commentators through the ages and see what specific aspect of Hillel's admonition rang for them. What they see, in other words, when they read the words, what aspect, what implication of those few words, Al Tifrosh Min HaTzibur, four words, seemed to be the most urgent, seemed to be the most important. So let's start in the 11th century, or the early 12th century. In the commentary on Avot, which is attributed to Rashi, but which apparently does come out of his sort of circle, the commentator says, Al tifrosh ma'atzibur, don't separate yourself from the community, Ela hishtatef b'imahem, participate with them b'tzaratam, whenever they have tough times, be there for them. Be there for your fellow Jews. And kedei shetismachim ahem, because if you're there in the tough times, you'll be able to be there in the good times. And that's what community is all about: being together in the tough times and the good times together. And he quotes a verse regarding Jerusalem, that those who are there to mourn for Jerusalem will be there to celebrate its rebuilding. It's an appropriate sentiment today, that we're in the middle of the 3 weeks between Shavuot, Arba Tammuz, and Tisha B'Av, in which we sort of reacquaint ourselves and re-experience the destruction of of Jerusalem and the Temple. But rather than quoting that interpretation of the verse, this commentary says no. He says it's not just about the temple. It's not just about Jerusalem, which embodies Jewish unity, but rather he says, "Kol mi she'ei kedamrinan," as the rabbis say, "Kol mi she'no mishtatevim atzibur." Anybody who does not participate with the community in its hard times, and no rebbe nechamatz atzibur, will never see the consolation of the community, v'eino roe siman bracha la'olam, and he will never. Not only that, but he will never see he will never experience blessing. What does that mean? This is a very strong statement, saying that people who live alone can never really have a fully blessed life. You're cutting yourself off. There's a massive dimension of your life, which will be missing if you don't join a community, just isolate yourself. Now, this is in very marked contrast, and I sometimes wonder whether the original statement was a sort of contrast to the Christian position, which developed at the exact same time as Chazal said this, that the highlight of a person's spiritual life is actually to separate themselves from the community, to go and to hide in the sequester yourself in a cave or somewhere, and just live alone to meditate and to pray. Now, the monasteries that existed in Rashi's day were group activities. That's Western monasticism, with more as the ones that we know, the ones with which we're familiar, the Benedictines and others. We have large monastic houses and large institutions and so on. But the monasticism that the rabbis in the time of the Talmud encountered was exactly what I described. We know, for example, in Eretz Israel and in Syria, that monks would go off into the desert, and they would live in little caves like in the Judean desert, and they would be there, and they would hardly ever be seen, if ever. The whole ideal was to separate yourself from the community, and comes Hillel, but the way that the rabbis saw was people isolating themselves and among the Christians says, no, that's not an ideal. It looks sexy. It looks spiritual, but we do things together. And we don't sacrifice our own individuality by doing things together. The two live together. Jews live in a world of complexity where individual spiritual and intellectual strivings should be responded to, but at the same time, we don't do it separately. You do it with each other. So that seems to be what, and also there's a value in that's as far as the contra to the Christians are concerned. But there's a value in tzibur. There's a value in doing things together. One of the things that Rabbi Yehuda Levi likes to point out, in the look at the way that the revelations, various revelations, took place. The revelation that took place, according to the Christians, to the career of Jesus took place in a small group of people. The revelation that, according to the Muslims, took place to Muhammad took place in a small cave. Muhammad was alone; nobody else was there. Our revelation was a group activity. All Jews were at Sinai. Now, everybody heard something different. Everybody experienced it differently. But nevertheless, it was done as a group because that's how we do things. And because we participate in the good and in the bad, and that's one of our highest values. Okay, so that's what Rashi says. So it may be a counter Christian thing, and maybe that's what Rashi says. A little bit after Rashi, a man whose name was Yaakov ben Shimshon, who was it's not clear whether he was a student of Rashi or his grandson, not 100% clear, wrote a commentary on Pirkei Avot, which was included in a book which emanated from Rashi's school, which is called Machzor Vitri. He adds to this comment, to the first comment, but in a very striking way. He says, Al tifrosh matzibur. Don't separate yourself from the community. Ela hishtatef imahem. Rather participate with them. Laol malchut. For the burden and the yoke of the government. Ulitaniot, ulitfila. When it comes to fast days and when it comes to prayer. Okay, so that's more or less what, you know, except for one thing. I mean, so that's short. But then he goes on and on and on, and he talks about the fact that don't try to. He says he quotes the dialogue that took place between Mordechai and Esther in the fourth chapter of the Megillah, where Mordechai is less than impressed with the way that Esther responded to his importunings, that she has to do something to save the Jews against Haman's decree. And he says, Al tidami benafsheich, don't delude yourself. Don't deceive yourself. L'himaleit beit ha-melech mikol ha-yudim, to separate yourself or to hide in the palace from all the other Jews. Ki im achreish tachrishi beit hazot, because if you keep silent at this moment, the Jews will be Jewish salvation will come from another quarter, and you and your family, you and your house, our house, Mordechai was your uncle, will disappear. What has that got to do with what are we talking about? So a teacher of mine at Harvard, Rabbi Professor Bernard Beryl Septimus, commented to me once that, actually it was in my doctoral orals because I didn't get what he was trying to get out of this Mishnah. We talked about fasting together, that's the bad times, praying together for inspiration, I understand all that. But what's this Ol Malchut thing? What is this burden of the, of the community? And why bring it here? So he commented, and I'm going to expand on it, that the Jews from the early Middle Ages until the modern era had no formal standing. This is true, by the way, in the Muslim world less, but in the Christian world certainly, no formal legal standing. They existed, they were allowed to rule themselves, they had communal autonomy, but, there's a big but here, it could always be done away with. And the reason one of the reasons why the Jews were given communal autonomy is because it was easier for the authorities to collect taxes and to deal with the Jews as a collective, as a group, than it was to deal with them individually. Therefore, if it could be shown that there's no reason to give the Jews their autonomy, which allowed them to live their lives according to the Torah, if that autonomy, if communal solidarity was violated, then in fact, the entire autonomy of the community and the ability of the community as a whole to function separately and not be subject to feudal law or Christian law and to be able to have religious freedom and so on and so forth would have been put in danger. Which meant that you work always through the community and you don't go outside the community. The community represents The Jewish community represents the Jews to the government. Everything is done together. And that's all. Because going outside, making private deals with the feudal or with the non-Jewish authorities endangered all Jews. So that's why he says, Al tifrosh matzibur. Rather, participate with them. Only, you know, when you're dealing with the government, only go through the community because there obviously were Jews who were endangering all of their brethren in order to get a better deal. And that's why he quotes the dialogue from Esther. What's the story? Don't just look out for yourself. If you just look out for yourself, then you'll be endangering all of your brethren. If you violate communal solidarity, if you violate national unity, If you go and you make a deal with those who would seek our destruction or would seek the undermining of Jewish communal autonomy and communal sustainability, you will end up bearing the blood or the souls, depending on what the story was, of the Jews on your head. Al tifrosh matzibur. Now that's not obvious in the words of Hillel. But that's what was burning. That was the issue that was burning in the eyes of the, or for Yaakov and Shimshon, that was the point. When people taught this Mishnah in France and in Germany in the 12th and 13th century, he felt he had a cri de coeur. He had a cry out, and emphasized just how critical it was that the Jewish communal solidarity be maintained, and that you keep it in the family. That doesn't mean you don't deal with dirty laundry. That doesn't mean that you don't punish people who are malefactors. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people who are more interested in their own betterment and their own status and their own money than in the good of their fellow Jews. So that's on the one hand. So that's in the 11th, 12th century. That's what the communal unity is as an ideal, and that we have to daven together, and we should study together, and we should be together for the good times and the bad times. You know, that's a perpetual Jewish value. On the other end, but then you have this immediate moment that where it was a life and death question of Jewish sustainability, and the commentator says, oh, that's really what he's talking about. That's what it means today. Interestingly, that's not what bothered that's not apparently what bothered the Jews in the Mediterranean, literal. At least not 100%. Maimonides, at the same time, the 12th century, Maimonides is bothered by something else. He says, I've already told you how important it is to live in a community, and because people need each other, and that everybody has every and that we're obligated to each other to provide what we can give. You know, everybody has strengths and weaknesses, and since everybody has strengths and weaknesses, we can provide something to our fellow Jew in the community or fellow person in the community that they don't have, and vice versa. Everybody has to recognize their pluses and their minuses, and that's how they should live. In other words, his view of community was, I don't want to say, but yeah, maybe more pragmatic. The function of a community is to allow everybody to support each other as they seek their individual self-fulfillment spiritually and intellectually and so on. That's what really guides him. Maimonides, he says similar things in the Guide for the Perplexed, and so on. So since Maimonides basically is taking a sort of individualist view of community, not community as a whole, as something which is value in and of itself, which is larger than the sum, where the whole is larger than the sum of its parts, which is what you see in Ashkenaz. Maimonides is saying, no, you need community so that everybody can reach their own potential for the reasons that I mentioned. And that's it, in fact what and that's a sentiment that is was expressed a little bit later by Rabbeinu Yonah, by Rabbi Jonah Garondi in his commentary. But I want to come back to Maimonides, because Maimonides indirectly formulates a different part of the values of community in the Mishneh Torah. In other words, if the reason not to leave the community is because the community is bigger than the sum of its parts, and it's something which is great, and it's something which you should be part of, irrespective of your personal needs and so on, because that's your being part of the community is as much a part of you as your individual personality. Okay, so I can understand that. However, if the function of the community is to allow every single person to reach their maximum spiritual, intellectual realization, and their soul should live in the next world, and so on and so forth. So then the question becomes, okay, and we're admonished not to leave the community because we also have a moral obligation to help other people. What happens if there's a contradiction between my reaching my spiritual and intellectual and being me as a person, as an Eved Hashem, as whatever it is, and the community. So, for example, what am I referring? So Maimonides, in the sixth chapter of the Laws of Moral Qualities, because one of the best ways to translate Deyot, writes as follows. Derech Biyato Shel Adam, it's a natural thing. People are naturally drawn. People are naturally drawn to be like or to imitate the opinions and the deeds of his friends and his companions. There's a natural tendency. You want to be like everybody else. So you adapt yourselves to what everybody else is thinking. I mean, sometimes we create ourselves our private communities, like the Facebook and Twitter echo chambers. But normally you're impacted by your neighbors. That's a simple thing. He says, therefore, says the Rabbi, and therefore you should attach yourself to righteous people. And therefore you should sit with the sages at all times. He should learn from their actions. And he should keep away from people that are bad. Who walk in the darkness, so he doesn't learn. He doesn't learn to imitate them. Because even if you don't consciously, proactively want to imitate somebody who's bad, you hang around with the wrong crowd, you're going to be sucked in, you know? I mean, that's what every parent knows about in terms of kids choosing their friends. And he quotes some psukim, and then he says, and it's the same way, he says, catch this. if there was a place or a city or a country whose practices are bad, and the people don't, they don't walk the straight and narrow, they're corrupt. You should get out of Dodge, and you should go a place where there are good people. Don't live in a bad neighborhood. Don't live with bad people. If you don't like where the neighborhood's going, pack your bags and leave. Yes, that's a very hard thing to do, because inertia, and you have to sell the house, and there's packing, and there's moving, and whatever. But the Rambam says, look at your soul, your personality, your olam haba, everything, who you are, is at stake. And therefore, if you see what's going on, get out. Vimayukolam dinot. Then he says, what about if society is in crisis? What happens if all of the places you could possibly go are being swept up in a tsunami of immorality and injustice and dishonesty and a violation of all the things that you know are right and good? He says, "Vim kayu kolam dinot shehu yodam, that he knows about, v'shomea shmuatam, and he's heard about all of those countries. No agim b'derech lo tovah kemo zmaneinu. If all the terrible places are horrible, like in our times, as in our times, which is a striking statement about Maimonides' view of his period, you have to roll that around in your head for a bit. Osheino yachol alechet lemdina sheminagoteha tovim, where there are good places but he can't get there. Mipnei hakiyasot, because there are wars going on, or mipnei choli, or because of illness, he's sick, or there are plagues or whatever. Yeshev liad levado yachidi, he should live, so he dwell by himself. Shneamar, Yeshev b'edad b'yidom. There's a pasuk in a verse in Lamentations. You sit alone and you're silent. He says, "V'im ayu ra'im v'chataim shene." And if society forces itself in on you, if they won't let you alone, you want to stay in your house. Leave me alone. I don't want to be part of you. So you stay home, live with your books. You know, himateva limonva sorima yishanim, with the tea and the lemon and the old books. But if people keep coming after you and they insist on including you and they insist on breaking down your isolation with their bad values and. And they insist on, they can't tolerate the fact that you're different. They insist that you join them. Shein minichim oto leshev b'mdina. They don't make staying there possible. Ela im kein nitarevi mehan, unless they joins them. V'noheg b'minhagam, and he adopts their patterns of behavior. Yetzei l'ma'arot l'chochim l'mitbarot. So go to the desert. Do what those monks were doing. Leave. Your soul is paramount. Leave and don't expose yourself to being influenced by the evil around you. And he quotes a verse in Jeremiah, "Mi neni b'midbar melon uchim." Oh, if only I could have a small place to live in out in the desert. What happened to Altifrosh Matzibur? Obviously, community, in this case, according to Maimonides, is not an absolute value. Is it because Maimonides doesn't see community as a something larger than oneself, but rather something more pragmatic? Or because his point of view of the goal of man is to perfect themselves and as individuals, and really you don't transcend that? It's a good question. How does this apply? Well, I think there's a lot of things in these two separate approaches to what community is and why you should or should not be part of one that have contemporary relevance. And as I said, I leave them all to you to apply. But it's really striking how the same issue, same question, can evoke such different responses and can elicit such different reactions and such different ideas in different interpretations and different experiences in different places and different times. But as I've told you, that's the beauty, one of the beauties of the commentaries on Pirkei Avot. It gives us insight not only to the adages that are contained there, which are of eternal value, but also because they tell us about how other Jews in other times experienced in very different ways the very same words. Okay, we will see you next time. And as always, please, if you have comments, don't hesitate to leave them, and I'd be happy to return to comment on them. You're invited to share this this video. I'll put it up on YouTube and on Twitter and on Instagram on my accounts. And in the meantime, I've been sponsoring them to sort of send them around on through my Rabbi Professor Jeffrey Wolf page, which you're welcome to like, to get the word out and to create and expand this world, our discussions of these issues. And have a great week. Bye.